a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Do every single week the MGO blog roundtable
through today anyway, Sam.
Okay,
you sound tired. You sound tired of us every single week.
I know.
No, I mean I meant that in as it was supposed to be endearing.
I'm tired of it.
If I didn't know your love for us, Sam, I might have doubted.
Folks that listen to this show know that I love this segment. So I love that you guys are coming around. Hate that it's going on hiatus, but I get it. But when we come back, we'll come back strong. Across from me, Brian Cook from MGO Blog. Brian, good morning.
Morning.
To my right, the venerable Greg Ross.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Morning.
And, of course, Ed Fang. Ed swings a mean bat. He's a good athlete. He scaled the wall and shagged some fly balls. I mean, Ed gets it done, man.
Not bad for an Asian dude.
Wow. Ed is racist to South Boston against himself.
I know. Our off air can't be repeated.
Right. So, but Ed, his site, The Power Rank, tell people about The Power Rank, Ed.
The Power Rank is on vacation for – no. We do football predictions. We do March Madness predictions. A lot of people won their pools based on some of advice. And, yeah, I do predictive analytics. Come check it out, thepowerrank.com.
Yeah, and I passed you this message before. I don't know if you followed through, but Pep Hamilton was like, man, Ed,
yeah,
I'm in town and you can't even reach out?
You know, I reached out to them yesterday.
So. Okay, there you go. So former neighbor of yours, right?
Yeah, and just completely good dude. There's no reason we're in touch now if he's not a good dude. He's just an amazing person.
Gotcha. All right. So, guys, a lot to talk about. Obviously, you spent last week talking about Mel Pearson being hired and went over that. Did not get a chance to cover the other news that happened late last week, and that's the pickup of a transfer for the Michigan basketball team. Curious your thoughts on Mr. Simmons.
He's an interesting player because he's if you look at hoopmath.com, which I have a subscription to, he generated like almost half of Ohio's shots. So he has like 200 assists, and then he had 3% of his twos are assisted, and 35% of his threes are assisted. So he did everything himself, and those numbers are incredibly low. I've never seen numbers that low. So every shot that he generated on that team, he did himself. So his efficiency numbers aren't great, but in context, he generates shots, and that's something that Michigan needs a little bit of next year.
Yeah, I looked at his tape, and he was first-team All-MAC, I think, at the point guard position. He's a good shooter. He's not as good a shooter as Derek, but he's okay. He's ahead of X from what I've seen. But
yeah, he's definitely capable, and like a lot of his shots are terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of that is going to be cleaned up.
In the context where he is, he has to take those shots, right? So he'll be a great late clock guy. I mean, a lot of the things he puts down are like, wow. And I think his efficiency will go up a great deal because he's not going to have to shoulder as much of the load. But he looks like a good pickup.
He's good in the pick and roll. The pick and pop. He's better than Derek in that respect. He's a pretty solid distributor. There's things that I don't like. One, he's a high volume of twos. Did you notice that? And that may be something that cleans up. And he's high turnovers, but again, that may be OU dependent. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that bothered me is I didn't think he was great in transition. In the transition points I saw, I wasn't happy with his decision making, but I think he puts Michigan in a good spot. I mean, he gives them someone who's probably better than anyone on their roster, at least offensively right now, and it gives X a chance to work in and become a good player. Also, Eli Brooks gets his shot. He doesn't have – neither one of those guys has to take over a team because I think Simmons can do that. I mean, I don't know if you see
I think the first point you made was the first thing that and I mentioned this to Ira last week when we talked about it. He is really good in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
He is a guy that can get to the hole and make plays for others. He can finish through contact. You need a guy that is going to be – you aren't going to find Derek, but can you find some of the elements of Derek? And they were looking for some backcourt scoring production, whether that was from a guy who could generate shots for others or could get some himself. I think he's an in between. If you had gotten Daniel from Howard,
that would have been his ass.
That would have just been him trying to get his. I mean, I had no confidence that guy was going to come in and be anything other than a chucker.
Yeah,
he would have been less of a chucker, but a chucker. This guy. If you talk to Mac coaches, they'll tell you, man, he has great court vision. Now, in the half court, anyway, I guess I didn't expand the discussion to, hey, how is he in transition? But the comment was great court vision. He gets the ball to guys in positions where they like it. With the weapons that Michigan has on their team next year, provided DJ and Mo come back, he'll have a lot of guys to get the ball to.
What's the story on that? I mean, DJ and Mo, neither one is going in the first round, are they? That seems highly unlikely.
DJ's projected late first round.
Yeah, but you can't count on it.
By who?
First round.
Yeah, it's a game.
By a lot. I mean, Draft Express, the last time I looked, was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I haven't checked, although ESPN just
most
fired
I've
their
seen
guy.
Most that I've seen have him in the second round. Some have Mo not getting drafted.
I mean, it's
but DJ was ahead of Mo and some of the ones that I looked at.
I mean, if Mo's in the draft, he'll get drafted, but I think they're projecting a withdrawal from him. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I don't know that there's any clarity on that.
They're gonna go
through up to the deadline. Beeline made that comment last week, so they are gonna have an opportunity to compete, to work out, to kind of see where they think they stand. Against the other guys in the field. But I think ultimately it's going to come back and say, hey, at least for DJ, you're borderline. And is that enough for you to take that gamble when you can come back and be a sure thing?
You know, and I'm sort of mystified. Mo Bamba hasn't pulled the trigger anywhere yet, has he?
No.
I don't think so. And so what's he waiting? Is he waiting to see what happens to the center at Texas?
That's a huge factor for him.
Okay.
He said he wants to see what's going to happen with the guys that are the draft entry guys, mm-hmm. whether or not they're going to take their names back and come back to college. Now, for Mo Bamba,
does that matter? Isn't he good enough to get minutes anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
And Mo Bamba is going to play anywhere.
It shouldn't, but he said it does. And he said, hey, the way the system is set up is great for the guys who can put their name in the draft and pull it out. He said, but it sucks for me.
Yeah, because
that's a factor for me, and I'm going to wait to see what happens with those guys.
Okay.
So,
I mean, the other thing about Michigan basketball, and I think maybe Brian's seen this guy, maybe you have too. There's a guy from Canada, Orangeville. I don't know where Orangeville is. I assume it's somewhere near Toronto. And I'm going to blow his name, but his name is Ignas Brazdeikis. And
sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. And he's Lithuanian, as was Nick Stauskas, and he's also
this is a 2018 kid, though, right?
Yeah, he's 2018.
He could have
come out in 2017, but he decided to push back to 2018. So he's 6'7". He's like around 100 maybe on the ratings I saw. He's not a 100 player. He's like a 20 player to my eye.
He should be ranked 20.
Right, ranked about 20, maybe better. I mean, he's 6'7". He's a great shooter. I mean, he's a phenomenal jump shooter. He has range. But what I really liked about this guy is he's got a right hand. I mean, a phenomenal right hand. So he'll shoot balls from 8, 9, 10 feet right-handed in traffic. And that's something you almost never see. And he's completely comfortable with either hand around the basket.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
knows the ambidextrous shoot.
Yeah, I mean he the last one I've seen that comfortable was Rasheed Wallace, who was great with his right hand around or left hand around the basket. And so he's pretty strong. I mean, I saw this guy and I was blown away. Last time I was that excited about seeing a player was probably Stauskas, you know, 2 or 3 years before he came to Michigan. And I think Michigan has a shot at him.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him yet. hopefully over the summer.
Yeah, he put up 50 in an AAU game this about 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, but everybody does that.
No, not everybody does that. And he came back with 43 the next night. So, I mean, he fits perfectly with Michigan. I mean, you see him. Although these guys whined about it or made fun of me in the break, I even see a little bit of James Harden in his game.
I didn't whine about that. I was just like,
you were whining at me saying you're an idiot.
But let's set it up right.
You're talking about Lithuanian guy from Toronto. Can we at least stop at Stauskas before you go to James Harden?
But the first comparison you gave was a bigger Zach Novak, right?
Yeah, bigger Zach Novak. So,
like, those aren't the same player at all.
Well, but it's like, is he James Harden on defense? Because that could be like a negative.
His defense has a way to go. But he has this curious ability to get to the basket where you don't think he's moving very fast, but somehow.
Did Zach Novak have any ability to get to the basket? God bless Zach Novak, but.
Well, I see the toughness of Novak. Okay. A toughness of Novak, a better shooter, but a guy who can really, really get to the basket. And I don't know, he would be a great fit for Michigan.
Harden is a guy that's bigger than you expect a guy to be that can get to the basket like that. Is that what you're saying? Like he's bigger?
Yeah, he's like
his mass to quickness ratio is good?
Maybe that's it, but it's odd because you don't.
Does he have a big beard?
No. You never think Harden.
This is a terrible comparison.
All right. You never think Harden's that fast, but somehow he gets to the basket.
But he is. He's one of those. Yeah.
Well, he has a really good first step, and you have got to step on his toes on a 3-point line. I mean, he's such a good shooter that he gets leverage because guys have got to be out there on him. So.
But, he's an elite athlete, too. I mean, guy's like some average NBA athlete.
I think he's a good athlete. I don't agree that he's an elite athlete.
I think he's
LeBron James is an elite athlete. Well,
Russell Westbrook
is an elite athlete. I think, as far as athleticism is concerned,
don't you think Harden's a better player than Westbrook? I do.
Yeah, I do.
I think they're comparable.
I'll take Harden every day. What do you think, Brian? Harden.
I have no opinion about this. I don't watch pro sports.
All right. Okay.
And you're adamant about it, man.
I just don't. I'm watching soccer, but nobody wants to talk about that.
How about this? I will concede this. I think that the MVP discussion is more of a debate than people are making it this year.
Yeah. You don't think it's Westbrook for sure?
Averaging a triple double on its face earns you the MVP. But when you look at his, you were just talking about usage numbers. I mean, his usage numbers
are insane.
Off the charts. I mean, he's like 42% of all OKC shots.
And that doesn't include his assists, right?
Like, it's like, man, it's ridiculous. And Harden is averaging a few points less, double digit rebounds and almost eight assists. He's not averaging more assists.
Harden's having
is it double digits, not as many rebounds. Not as many rebounds,
but like almost 12 assists. Yeah, like he led the league in.
Yeah, he's pretty doggone good. Anyway, we need to get to a break. A topic that we have touched on here before that I want you guys' take on. So ESPN has laid off over 100 employees, out front employees, not the behind the scenes people. And they say more layoffs are coming, or non-contract renewals anyway, at least that, not renewing some contracts. What do you think this says about the future of ESPN, the future of sports media? Chew on that. We'll get to that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. We are back, fellas. The crew, the MGO Blog Roundtable, Brian Cook, Ed Fang, Craig Ross in studio. Before we get back into it, announcement, programming note. Tigers game postponed.
Shocking.
Due to rain.
So, shocking. It's going to rain until like tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to get the grass cut, man.
Yeah, you have to wait till this weekend. I'm guessing Sunday will probably dry out enough for you to mow the lawn. It'll be like 8 feet tall by then.
It's true. But I got that nice riding mower from Boolean Sales and Service. So, and then my kid doesn't go back to college until Monday.
So he could do it for you.
So he could do the push more part of it. The trim part.
All right, send him over. I need some help too.
So that's how that works, man. But guys, before we went to the break, posed a question about a topic that we've discussed before. I mean, Brian has been very outspoken about saying, hey, pretty soon cable's going to die and everything's going to be online. Everything is going to be digital.
Oh, come on. That is a Brian Cook line. Don't look giving us that face, dude.
Well, I mean, die is a little bit over the top, but it's been an assertion of mine for a long time that cable is going to be a thing of the past in the near future. And that was why I was so opposed to adding Maryland and Rutgers to the Big Ten, because it was a short-term play. And I think you're seeing that play out.
And so ESPN, in case you missed it, ESPN had some off-camera layoffs a little while back. And there had been talk for in the weeks subsequent to that, that there were going to be some very notable and noticeable faces on camera that were going to be lopped off. And that happened last week. It had a lot of people saying that ESPN is dead. They're doomed. I don't know that it's that. I don't know.
Oh, come on, man.
It's that bad. But does it maybe signal what you're talking about, Brian? Does it signal a real sea change for ESPN, ESPN individually, and then collectively for sports media? I mean, is this the sign that a corner has been turned, so to speak?
No, I think it is a different attitude for ESPN going forward, in that they actually have to care about their bottom line. And before, they just were making so much money that, sure, we'll have Grantland, sure, we'll hire all these people, and they'll be doing all these things. And they were looking towards growth, right? They're just like, let's grow. And now, because they've signed these huge yeah, deals, they're still profitable, and they're still going to be profitable. But because they're owned by a corporate publicly traded company in Disney, they have to throw off a certain amount of money to make shareholders. And
well, their margins are shrinking, though, because they're hemorrhaging yeah. subscribers. And then that cost that you just laid out is not going anywhere. And I wonder, you're going to sign the NFL contract no matter what. The NFL is going to name its price and you're going to sign it. But the NBA contract, I wonder if they would do that. If they had it to do over.
Well, especially if they're sitting guys on Saturday night games.
I mean, one of the things that they have the games. So ESPN is going to continue being a thing. And they are going to remain so important to the sports world that things like the Big Ten refusing to give all their stuff to Fox is going to continue happening. Because everybody doesn't want to be hockey, right? Nobody wants to be hockey.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't exist in ESPN.
Except for Barry Melrose.
Well, and Buchagross didn't get the axe yet, but his contract's up in July, and I think that he's unique enough and versatile enough that he would be able to stick around. But who knows these days? So, no, I think the future of sports is on the internet, like the WWE Network, except with actual sports instead of non-sports.
And you're a WWE fan, right?
No,
your wife is.
I'm a person who has to watch it because of my wife. I like certain
that
parts
is so
of it.
Weird.
Yeah, she's got a PhD, and she's like, "Oh, let's watch wrestling." I'm like, "Oh no." I mean, it's not. I mean, it's terrible, but there are parts that are not terrible. A few of them. Like I like Kevin Owens, but anyway.
I don't know any of the wrestlers anymore.
So I think one aspect of this that
you do.
I don't.
You do.
I know John Cena.
Yeah, there you go.
I never heard of him.
Never heard of John Cena?
No, never heard of
him. Oh, dude, where?
I haven't watched.
He's on the Today Show.
Oh, my God.
Craig hasn't watched wrestling since Bruno Sammartino,
exactly,
okay?
Right. Bruno, you know, and Haystack Calhoun. But I haven't.
Who?
Haystack Calhoun? 632 pounds?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
He was a referee once in a six-man tag team. It was incredible.
He was all
with
six
Bruno
men.
San. No, with Bruno Sammartino. He was one of the wrestlers in any event.
So, I mean, back to the sports media thing.
If you're 6'4", 600 pounds, how do you move?
Right.
I don't know. He was 600.
Very deliberately.
600 pounds plus 632 was he always.
Stop lying on the air.
Hey, Stack Calhoun, look him up.
No.
I did. He's huge.
All right. So, Ed, you were saying.
Oh, I was just saying. I mean, I think, like, there's kind of a broader, you know, shrinking of the sports media industry. So, I mean, one thing is that Bleacher Report laid off 50 people as well.
Yeah, but Bleacher Report was always a scam. So,
well, no, they were a scam. Then they actually did some legitimate work.
Yeah, but like they never had a base that's like, oh, we have this money that we can spend on things. It was always like,
true.
Let's get an exit, and they got an exit. They sold to like Turner, and they never had any real worthwhile traffic. They were just good at SEO.
Well, I would disagree with that. I mean,
they had traffic, but they didn't have any, like, nobody cared about Bleacher Report. Nobody's like, oh, this is my jam. It was just like the thing that was the SEO.
Right. I mean, and you've seen At least I've seen.
SEO was killer.
Yeah, and I've seen their traffic decline this past college football season, even on the stuff I wrote for them. And, you know, I think it speaks to a broader what?
We don't do any SEO, which is probably.
Well, you do natural SEO.
Yeah, but
in the sense that you put content out there that's
probably
people want.
Bad.
Our SEO has improved light years since CBS 24/7. Guys.
SEO stands for search engine optimization, by the way.
Yeah.
Wait, everyone doesn't know that out there.
Ours used to be terrible. Terrible. I mean,
so they're hooking you up.
I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you used to have to type in a prospect's name, comma, scout.
Yeah.
In order for it to come up. And now you can type in a prospect's name and it comes up on the first page, often second. So, which is great for us.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I think this is like we're just talking about how ESPN's cutting people, Bleacher Report's cutting people, and the people sitting in this room are not having any issues with their sites at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot about where people are going on the internet. And
yeah, how's your site, Craig?
Actually, it's doing okay.
Do you have a site?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You
do? Yeah, but not for sports.
Oh.
For software for attorneys.
Oh. Okay.
And well, it's we're having
not
we're having
relevant a real, to our conversation.
No, but we're having a very good year actually. Okay, good. My you know, so
that's so I guess in the future though, as far as the offerings for ESPN, I had this discussion with Eric Adelson earlier this week, whose wife works for ESPN. He said, you know, we feel like they're getting further away from authentic journalism and more into personality-driven coverage.
Sure.
And then, of course, the games. I mean, they have the games. That's going
right.
to be where they make the most money. But yeah. as far as their offerings, their on-camera employee offerings, that it's going to be more personality-based as opposed to, hey, having hard-hitting journalists on their payroll.
Yeah, I mean, some of the layoffs are very weird. Like Brett McMurphy. Who's it, like if I know your name and you don't cover Michigan, like that's someone that I would feel is valuable enough to keep around. But they really just cut a lot of people who I was like, really, that guy? Like, one, how expensive can that guy be?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like,
they could.
Well, and then there was a guy, Ethan Strauss, that wrote an amazing profile of Golden State this year and Steph Curry versus Kevin Durant. And actually, I highly recommend you guys check it out because it's a really good read.
I was shocked.
He was one of the guys that got caught.
I was shocked by Jason Stark.
Jason Stark,
right?
Andy Katz.
Yep.
Like,
well, I mean, well, and Doug Glanville is a guy who's been on Baseball Tonight, written multiple books.
Yeah, I guess
had a career
Baseball
well
Tonight,
before he ever went to ESPN.
I mean, Baseball Tonight, in particular, seemed to really they got hit hard, and the word is they aren't done getting hit.
Well, no, they ESPN announced that they're going to like pick up some MLB produced show. So I think they're done. But.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, if it was me, I would have just fired every sideline reporter and replaced them with teenagers.
I'm not exactly.
Like, what's the difference? Like, you're going to ask Pop a question. He's going to be like, I don't like you. And then it's like, it doesn't matter.
That's great TV.
They don't. I mean,
Doris interviewing Pop is like a highlight.
Get a sixth grader to do it. It'll be adorable. It'll be the same content. It'll be the same amount of work.
It would be adorable. You're right about that,
yeah.
Brian Cook.
Yeah. Sixth grader sideline reporters. Hire me, ESPN. I'm a fountain of great ideas.
What exactly is it?
Don't hire me because you'll fire me.
Is it a combination of lack of advertising revenues and overextending on contracts, or is it the
hemorrhaging subscribers?
It's cord cutting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. They sign some bad deals where they get a large fee, but they cut back the number of the percentage of homes they had to be in.
Okay.
So instead of having to be in 95% of Verizon homes, they have to be in like 85%. So that allowed them to create skinny bundles that cost them a bunch of subscribers. And then a lot of people who don't like sports, I'm like, if I didn't like sports, there's no way I would have cable.
Right.
No way.
Yeah, I wouldn't
either. You'd binge watch stuff on Netflix and Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Fawlty Towers is now on Netflix. What else do I need?
So, is that any good?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Oh.
What is it?
Fawlty Towers. It's John Cleese, like... He's a hotel owner in the 70s. It was actually in the 70s. And it's very slapstick. It's delightful. It only has 2.5 stars, which is like, what are you doing, people?
I'll look at it.
Sounds like something
I
you'd
take
like.
No that. Movie advice, especially comedies from Brian.
Oh, no.
you would love Fawlty
Except
Towers.
Except for Happy Gilmore, I think he's generally right about.
Yeah,
that.
No, yeah, but it, so
oh,
like,
Craig,
there's so
on,
much
man.
Content, so much content on that Netflix side. That I could never ever watch all of it. So like, why would I pay?
No, that's
a Brazilian dollars every year to the cable company if I didn't need it
so
for sports.
So could ESPN go back to their old, original programming content?
That's not
essentially Australian rules football.
I don't think things are nearly that dire.
Okay. No,
they. But they were bloated to probably to Disney. Like you're spending this much money. What are you really getting out of this when most of your money is being made on the games themselves? And hey, all I need is they're saying we see Stephen A. You know, we see your Sports Center at 6. What do we need the rest of this crap for?
Well, and they built a lot of toys 5 years ago when things were good. A lot of new facilities. And this is inside stuff I heard from people that work there. It was like, you know, we have a lot of toys. And that's clearly something that they can't do. But they can't just not unpay for the toys, right?
Right.
So,
yeah, I think they were blindsided by this, which is another reason they should have hired me as a consultant.
Well, and this stuff,
I will give you that. You have been saying for some time that the day will come where cable dies.
That's true. And all looked at him like he was nuts, and maybe he is.
Well, he was right to a certain extent. Yeah. It was just the over-exaggeration.
I think one of the keys for cable is diversification of offerings. And you see Comcast really taking that tact in that they have their streaming service, but now they also have their home security service as well, which is another rung that helped keep me, for instance. So I can layer my home security in there, and that basically cut out a bill for me by bundling it in there.
Just changed one bill to a larger bill.
No, I didn't. So by bundling it in, I actually saved money by cutting out my cable bill because they had a special bundle that put all that in and kept my cable bill essentially the same.
Well, and the other thing is people hate these companies. People loathe cable companies. Like we advertised for them for Comcast on MGO Blog, and all the comments were like, I can't believe you're doing this. And I'm like, dude,
everyone here hates Comcast. Everyone in Hawaii hates Time Warner, and they hate Time Warner.
We are at a stage now where you should love them because they have competition. Mm-hmm. And that competition drives down prices. Like I just said, my bill now with cable, high-speed internet, phone, security is lower.
Yeah.
Is lower now that I've added the cable service to it.
And this is not good news for ESPN, right? Because before it was either like you get it or you don't get it.
Well, but I mean, ESPN's still getting $8 from Sam a month.
Yeah,
probably according to their deal.
They're not getting it from my grandmother, who used to be paying for all this stuff. And it's going to be more about like what you personally can bring in as a Michigan or a Rutgers than like, okay, we get to steal $1 from every person in New York who doesn't care about football.
By the way, did ESPN send someone to Rome?
Yes.
Yes.
They had
they sent the whole team. We'll get into that.
The whole team?
Yeah, they sent the whole team. What's the guy's name?
Marty Smith.
Marty.
They sent
Marty's still driving in a circle
Jim even had Marty address the team after one of the practices.
What?
That's great news for you, Sam, because that means you're next.
Hey, man, and the guy clearly, Marty loves himself some Marty. That was, you can pick up on that. Man, when he got a chance to address the team, you talk about a guy that looked like he was on cloud nine. Looked like he was a
I smell honorary captain this fall.
could be.
And out of this Feinbaum, like, praise the Michigan trip.
Let's not talk about Pete. I don't want to talk about Pete.
Pete?
All right. We got to get to a break.
Pete Feinbaum.
We got to get to a break before we do, folks. Our friends down at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor want you to know the great lease deals just are going to keep coming. They have the best sales selection and service around. With over 11 acres of inventory, they're the largest around as well. If you don't have time to make it down to the lot, all you have to do is go to their website, suburbanannarbor.com, click that specials tab, and up they come, the great lease deals like the one they have on the 2017 Chevy Equinox. You can lease that midsize SUV right now for $79 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $183 per month for 24 months. Or how about the 2017 Chevy Malibu LT Demo. You can lease one of those for $97 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $198 per month for 24 months. And last, but certainly not least, 2017 Chevy Camaro. Get sporty just in time for the summer. You can lease one for $243 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $299 per month for 39 months. For those and other great lease deals, make it on down to Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor and make the choice. Got to get to a break back on the other side to close things out here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. So, I mean, I'm sad that this is the last time we do the roundtable until the fall rolls around, because I still have a ton of questions.
You never know. Things may pop up.
One of them is
Gold Cup is a
legal question.
Relevant things may pop up.
That I posed in the break to the lawyer that's a part of the roundtable with Craig. So you got the situation up at Michigan State. You know, obviously, they had a fourth sexual assault allegation, and they acted very swiftly in removing Austin Robertson from the team. You have three other players that have been accused of some degree of assault, and that case has been – the investigation has gone on for months.
Yeah.
What could be taking so long?
Well, you know, I'm not a criminal attorney. You might want to ask one of your boys, Joe Simon or Dan Guerin, who would know the answer to this, or even George Sotiropoulos over there, who are good criminal attorneys. But to me, it makes no sense. And the only thing I can think of is evidence has disappeared.
Mm.
Rape kits, something like that, all of a sudden is gone. That has happened.
But I don't know. Conspiratorial.
There's no conspiracy I don't believe in.
Okay.
And
I guess we should have said that first.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and I haven't heard so far any logical explanation for why this should take months and months and months.
And the other one, and maybe it was easier to corroborate the accusation with Austin Robertson, but man, they handled that so – they moved on that so quickly.
I guarantee you –
Robertson went on the lam, so I think that's probably
– He was on the lam.
He was missing for 2 days.
He left before they
– Isn't that being on the lam?
He disappeared when he knew they were coming for him is what it sounded like.
I thought he disappeared before there was a – like it's not like he had this charge and then he left. He left because he knew they were going to
Man, if you have a come out, thing, out they for your knew, rest and you're gone thing, for 2 days. Like,
yeah. If they know you're – if you know they're coming after
if
you, then
you
you're
know
on the
you're going to be in trouble, then you leave beforehand.
Yeah, he's on the lam, man.
Yeah, so at any rate.
I mean, I don't know. I can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. I talked to several other attorneys about it, and they all shrug their shoulders. It doesn't make sense to them. I know I would say it's a 99.9% certainty in Washtenaw County with Brian Mackey's office that this thing would have been – You know, there would be an indictment. Well, there'd be an indictment. There'd be pending trial at the very least.
Or they will drop the charges.
Or they'll drop the charges. But in this county, if a case is at all that sort of a domestic violence or a sexual assault case, if there's anything colorable, they go forward.
Mm. What do you guys make of Tim Brewster talking some smack and then punking out?
Tim
by
Brewster.
By blocking Jim Harbaugh.
Why you is Tim pick a Brewster fight, talking smack Reddit. To anybody?
Right? I said the same thing.
You're a tight ends coach.
For your whole career. With two exceptions. He was a head coach of Central Catholic High School and, of course, a failure at Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's not a very good judge of his own abilities. But, like, why? Why poke the bear, man?
And then block him.
Yep.
And then block him. It's like, dude, seriously? You pick a fight and then you run.
Yeah.
If you can talk it, you got to be able to take it. You got to know. Everyone that has been around college football knows if you mess with Jim Harbaugh, he's gonna come back.
Right. Yeah.
So you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Now he's blocking. So my charge to Michigan fans is, hey, make him block you. Hey, all day at Tim Brewster. Now I am hoping and I am advocating.
Really doesn't take very much.
That you got it does not. We've already had fans tweet us. I just got blocked by Tim Brewster. That's been a
what?
Thing all morning. Yeah, we started this morning saying okay, so he wants to get off easy. He wants to talk smack and run and then put up pictures of the ring. Well, make him block Michigan people all day.
All you have to say is you're a clown and he'll probably block you.
Or
it's that simple.
Improving the image of Michigan fans every day here.
And look, at Tim Brewster, don't say things like, I hope you die. You know, I hope you never work again. Don't take it there. But, yeah, you want to razz the guy a little bit for being a career tight ends coach? I don't see a single OC anywhere on his track. I mean,
no, he's a recruiter. That's
he's
his job.
Been a tight ends coach his entire career.
I hope Godzilla rips out his liver. Can I say that?
You just did.
Oh.
At Tim Brewster.
So don't at Tim Brewster.
Hey, Craig, it's
what
called...
What was the other thing you were saying? Oh, you were like, let's get Scott Frost's mom. Like,
and then it worked.
No, don't do that. This is not the time of year to talk about somebody's mom, okay?
This is not the time of year to talk about mom.
Wait. Next week, no talking about mom.
This week, too. We're prepping people for it. Next week, too.
Says, yes, let's get Scott Frost's mom. we were at the tailgate, and people, when Scott Frost was introduced, the boos in the stadium. I mean, I can't take credit for all of them, but man, I think I had some stake in that.
You shouldn't be proud of that.
Yeah. I am so proud of that.
You should be beyond so proud. Proud You're right, Brian. Beyond proud is another word for it.
So yes, at Tim Brewster. Let him have it all day. Make him spend all day blocking you.
Craig, to do that, you go on a site. It's called Twitter.
No, I've never. I'm
and
not
you make
going.
An account. No. You say no. Craig Ross is not on Twitter.
He'd be an egg.
I don't even know what that means.
And then you send him a 140-character message. It can't be any longer than that, Craig.
All right.
You got it?
I'm having problems with Seth. You know, and for my article for Brian on his next magazine, I wrote about 4,000 words. Seth says it's too long, and then he added 1,000 words. And, so
sounds like Seth.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with that.
He added 1,000 words?
Yeah, well, maybe 600.
What, to the 1893 season that you were?
The 1880s, the missing years. And Seth found some other stuff that was pretty interesting, so he just threw it in. So I don't know how it's going to get shorter.
Sorry, Brian. So before we get out of here, and this has to be pretty quick, guys, but when we reconvene in the fall, do you think there will be sort of pending NCAA legislation against foreign trips like the one we just saw for Michigan?
I think that there'll be a bill or whatever they call it. I don't know if it'll pass because, I mean – the NCAA's official site was like, oh, look, Michigan's in Rome. Isn't this cool? And they're like, are they really going to come back and ban this? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Because
it's horrible.
Yeah, and SEC coaches are shameless.
But the SEC doesn't seem worked up about this at all.
And that's been my take. Because what leg do you have to stand on criticizing this? When they really didn't. I was there. They really did nothing football until Thursday, and they barely did football Thursday.
Now you're making their argument. It wasn't really a football trip. It was just – now you're making their argument.
Michigan said that. Michigan's argument
– then you're basically saying you gave them a freak
to the
road.
This is a cultural experience, and that absolutely was the case. Did they do some football in there? Yes, but that was it really was a footnote. That really was a footnote on the trip. Yeah. So
I'm guessing this is not that this will continue.
I don't know. You never underestimate the NCAA's ability to do something contrary to its stated goals.
That's H.L. Mencken.
Wow.
Right out of H.L. Mencken from the Baltimore Sun.
Guys,
very good.
Unfortunately, we won't be around doing the roundtable next week, so I'll have to remind you now that Mother's Day is 1 week from Sunday.
What's Brian Cook like?
He's a bearded pterodactyl, but friendlier.
Spooky.